Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis of my message this morning is from our gospel text, St. Luke chapter 10, Jesus' visit with Mary and Martha, two sisters. How well do you smell this morning? Probably wasn't the question you were thinking that I would ask, or Barry smells himself in the back. Barry Hagen, man. You know, sometimes we smell really not so good physically. Last Saturday was an example for me personally. It was a day filled at the Frolic and Rodeo, and a day filled with interacting with a whole bunch of activities and items that were happening, engaging with a lot of people on Saturday. It started off in the morning at 10 o'clock with the parade, and there were those big log trucks down the street, and Mike's clothes picked up a little faint smell of diesel. Not exactly pleasant, as the parade was fun, but there was that diesel smell. And then from there, we chose to go to the car show, and it was at that point that we realized that, wow, I think we're going to spend the entire day at the Frolic and Rodeo, at the car show. And so at that point, I then we got out the suntan lotion and put on my neck, and the smell there was kind of a faint coconut lotion kind of thing. A weird smell, diesel and coconut, pretty strange. From there, went down to the Frolic Rodeo grounds in the cornhole tournament. Caleb and I were there, and it was sweaty. Cornhole is an athletic sport, I want you to know. And after an hour of that, was really sweaty. Mix in the cotton candy and the ice cream and all that sort of thing down at the carnival, and you can imagine what I smelled like at about 4 o'clock. The first thing that I want to do is go home and get those smells just off me. There are so many conflicting smells. It doesn't smell so good. Maybe you can recall times where you smelled pretty good, and those smells gave you a good sense of what has happened to you. Remember that first time that you drove away from a car lot, maybe a fairly new car, a car that you just got, and the smell from that car? Your senses are kind of heightened, and that smell just makes you feel better, and you walk away and your shirt still smells like the brand new car. You feel a little special. It reminds you of how awesome it is to have that car, that vehicle. Oftentimes, how we smell is an indication of what we're hanging around and what we value to be important. It's kind of a weird way of looking at it, but that is actually how God viewed it in the Old Testament with his people. He wanted them to smell a certain way. And by smelling, by God's people smelling a certain way, it was an indication that they were close to God. And that they valued what God was giving them. So here's the teaching. In Exodus chapter 30, with the giving of the tabernacle, this temporary housing of the Israelites, God gave a very specific perfume that was to be spread in the tabernacle. It was of expensive spices, olive oil and some extreme spices, and it was to be spread in the tabernacle, and he did not want that exact smell anywhere else in the community. He didn't want anyone else to put that smell on them. Now, why did God do that? Here's the reason why. He wanted people to know that if they had that smell on them, the community would say, hey, Frank smells like he was at the tabernacle this morning offering sacrifices. Linda, she was over there offering sacrifices. She has the smell of the tabernacle. This is right in the Bible, Exodus chapter 30. You fast forward to the temple, and God does the same thing with the smell in the Holy of Holies, except it's a little bit of a sweeter smell in the Holy of Holies. God asks his people to spread that perfume there and not to spread it anywhere else in the entire community. They weren't to brand it. They weren't to sell it. That way, if a person went into the temple, they would pick up that smell in the temple and they'd walk out into the community, and people would say, yeah, Frank was at the temple. He smells like he was offering sacrifices. So here's the thing. Is there a distinct smell here at Peace once church ends? Is there a distinct smell? Do we have an odor here at Peace? Food? I agree, Bob. You know, it's the Saturday men's breakfast, that bacon smell. It stays until Sunday morning, yeah? What about some other smells? Maybe the flowers, who knows, some potluck dinner, that sort of thing. But for the most part, as we think about our church, it's not odor-filled. It's pretty negligible. But here's the thing that I want you to hold on to. God wants you to have an aroma as you leave this church. The aroma of Jesus Christ. We come to church and we're saturated with his promises. It's on your clothing. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. It saturates us like a perfume would. Jesus says, I will be with you to the very end of the age. Jesus says, where I'm going, I go there so that you may also be there with me. Jesus saturates us with his forgiveness. It's like a perfume. It touches us in every way, and every sin that we have is reversed, and we have this fragrance to us. And when people interact with us in the community, they should say, wow, he looks a little more free. That's an aroma. We're filled with the aroma of Jesus' love here in this place. It doesn't exist out in the community. It's conditional love out there. The aroma that you have here is Jesus' unconditional love. There is no perfume or fragrance like it in the community, and they want to smell it on you. Paul picks this theology up in 2 Corinthians. He says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We are the aroma of Christ for those who are saved and for those who are perishing. You are the aroma of Jesus Christ. Jesus enters into the home of two ladies this morning, Mary and Martha. Do you pick up on which one picked up the fragrance of Jesus and which one just pretty much missed out completely? Mary is saturated with the perfume of Jesus. Here are the details of the text. She's sitting. What that means is that she's coachable. She wants to listen. She's submissive to Jesus' teaching. She wants to hear from him. It says that she's at his feet. She recognizes that he is a master, a rabbi. It says that she listens to him. She doesn't tell Jesus what to do. She listens and absorbs what Jesus has. And she's filled with his fragrance, ready to go out from that house and give a pleasing aroma to the people that she comes into contact with. Martha, on the other hand, does she pick up any of the fragrance of Jesus? No. Why not? She's distracted, serving. She runs around and she's busy. She can't sit. No, she can't sit. There's people to serve and there's things to do. And it's not as if she's doing things that are bad or wrong. It's that she's actually doing a lot of good things. But she's not doing the best thing. She's anxious, the text says. That's one way to translate that. She's anxious, she's troubled, and she doesn't really pick up any of the fragrance of Jesus. So here's the thing. Which one do you relate to this morning? Mary, filled with the fragrance of Jesus, or Martha, distracted, disruptive, kind of struggling? I don't think we have Marys or Marthas in our congregation. I think every single one of us has a little bit of Mary in us. We got a little bit of Martha in us. We don't have Marys and Marthas. We all have a little bit of both inside of us. And as we live in today's culture and time, do you realize that we're living in Martha's world? A world full of disruption and distraction? It's not Mary's world. It's Martha's world. You know, we pick up our cell phones. Take example our cell phones. My wife will call me out on this one. Chief of sinners, I preach, but I'm preaching right to myself on this one. Cell phones, for example, will get focused on something for 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden we pick up our cell phones and we're reading about Justin Bieber's latest vacation off in the Caribbean. What? we pick up our cell phones and we get distracted and we're reading about how to make enchiladas in 5 minutes with 3 ingredients. You do this, don't you? There's a recent book out by Tony Frank that discusses the disruption and distraction in today's culture. The book is titled this, 12 Ways That Phones Have Changed Society. And one of the points of the book is to say that the average person will check their phone 80,000 times in their lifetime. Every 4 minutes, that means that in the sermon you've checked your phone 4 times probably. You're wondering where Justin Bieber is traveling next week, maybe? I don't know. Take emails, for example. The average person checks their emails every 5 minutes. And as soon as they check their email, it takes about 60 seconds to get back on track. How do we get anything done? See, we're living in a Martha world, but here's the good news. If you're thinking this morning, I'm Martha, here's the good news. Jesus loves you. He's not distracted. Because in this text, he loves Martha. He calls her, he doubles her name, which means love and gentle rebuke. Martha, Martha, I love you. Mary's done the better thing, but Martha, I still love you. And Jesus is not distracted. And Jesus is focused on Martha too. He doesn't just push her to the side. Maybe this morning you relate to Mary. And remember, I'm not calling people out Martha and Mary in our congregation. I don't think that's the point of the text. I think we've got, each one of us has Mary in us. We got a little bit of Martha in us. And you know what? By you just being here this morning in worship, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're honoring the Sabbath. Amen. And you're indicating that you got a little bit of Mary inside of you. There are a whole bunch of things that you could be doing, a whole bunch of distractions out in the community. It's beautiful outside. The sun is beaming. There are lots of chores that could be done. There's all sorts of things that you could rather be doing, but you've chosen to be here at the feet of Jesus, and you've chosen to take in the fragrance that Jesus offers. Whether you're Mary or Martha, whether you're feeling 70% Martha this week, 30% Mary this next week, or whatever it is, the mix that you have inside, the point of the passage is that Jesus loves you. And Jesus is not distracted. And Jesus is not disrupted. As he goes to the cross, he goes because he loves you. And he wants to pour out his love and forgiveness on you so that you can spread it to others. You know, I've shared before this story, but I think it really fits our church really well. There was a town in France that was famous for its perfume. I've shared this before, but I want to remind you of this, of who our church is and how it's kind of like this factory. This little town had a perfume factory, a lavender factory, in which the workers would show up and they'd put on their working clothes and they'd have clothes underneath them. And they'd handle this precious, beautiful lavender perfume from very early in the morning until 5 p.m. at night. And when it became 4:30 at night, the villagers and the surrounding towns around that factory got ready. They got ready because a beautiful smell was going to come out in just a few moments, spreading from all the workers there in that factory. You know, people are waiting outside this church to smell you. To smell you. They've never smelled the fragrance of Jesus before. It's not in any other religion. It's not in any other philosophy. They're waiting to have a little bit of that love and forgiveness that Jesus offers. So let's do follow Mary. This week, maybe you're feeling 80% Martha, 20% Mary. Let's bump that up a little bit more. Let's be maybe 30% Mary this week and sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to him. Soak him in. Take in his fragrance so that we can go and spread it, that aroma of Jesus, with others. Paul was right. We are the aroma of Christ, both to those who are perishing and to those who are saved. Amen.